Hey everybody, my name is Carson Tinker. I'm the long snapper for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Welcome to Jags Team Talk. Hey, the Jags are more than just a home team on game day. We're also a part of your community. We know that some of our younger fans look up to us as role models, and that's one of the reasons why Team Talk is so important to us. The Jaguars Foundation and our friends at Beaver Street Fisheries are helping to bring you this show, and we hope that teens and parents learn some important information that can help you set up a good plan for a solid future. And that's what we call a game plan for success. I've invited a few friends over to the stadium to help us out. Come on in, guys.
Hey, Carson.
We got Dylan and Kimon, Katie and Marisa. Hey, y'all got a great day planned today. I heard y'all are going to meet with some members of the Roar, one of my teammates, and even maybe Coach Bradley. But first, y'all are going to meet with a friend of the Jags, Amy Morales. She is the president of Innovations Learning, and she's going to talk to you about teenagers' brains and how they develop and how they work. And you might even get to learn something about yourself and how you think. Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, so y'all go ahead and get started with that, and I'm gonna be in the locker room. I'll catch up with y'all later.
All right.
See you later.
Perfect.
Hi guys.
Hey. How are you doing?
Hey.
Good.
Were you looking at my friend Carl?
Yeah.
Well, we're here to use Carl today to talk about the adolescent brain. Have you been having a good day at the stadium?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm so glad to see you. I want you to learn some great things about your brain today that you may not have known about before. I want you to think about this as a reset. We're going to talk about the differences between what happens to your brain, not when you were a child and not as an adult, but what was really the hallmark characteristics of what's happening into the development of your brain. And before we even get into the science of the brain, I really want to talk to you about just being a teenager and the things that are hard and the things that you're enjoying about being a teenager. Because do teenagers sometimes get a bad rap in the news?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to give you some really great information today that's going to make you feel really good about being a teenager. So why don't we start with the things that you really enjoy about being a teenager. Would you like to share with me maybe?
I think we're given a lot more freedom and independence, which I like.
I also think we're getting a lot more responsibility and we're able to do more.
I think being, like, trying new things, getting new experiences, I really enjoy that.
Great. All right, so a lot more freedom and not as many rules.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you finding that's tough about being a teenager?
Trying to identify yourself, trying to figure out
finding an identity for yourself, okay.
I think there's a lot of pressure put on us by the media and society.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And just our overwhelming schedule that we have to go by every day.
It's just crushing sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just feel like you're pulled in so many different directions?
Yes.
Okay. So as we're talking about the good things about being a teenager and the tough things, I want us to really talk about how we create a really good identity for our brain, okay? I like to call this brain Carl. When we're looking at Carl's brain, there are two hemispheres in your brain, a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere. And what we're really trying to establish in adolescence is good, healthy habits for your brain so that we've got good messaging going between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. What do you think are some of the great things that you could do to create healthy habits for your brain as you're growing?
Getting enough sleep.
Yeah. Getting enough sleep. How much sleep do you think you're supposed to be getting as a teenager? Do you have any idea?
8 to 9 hours.
Yeah. 8 to 9. The current statistic is 9 hours and 15 minutes. So are you getting that much?
No.
Most teenagers I talk to are not getting that much sleep.
No.
Okay. Do you know what happens to your brain and your body if you're not getting enough sleep?
You don't function properly.
Your decision making is not as good. If you were really, really sleep deprived, it's actually like drinking a few drinks and then getting behind the wheel and driving.
Ooh, no.
Okay, driving and drinking. It's the same physiological response for your body if you don't get enough sleep. Okay, what are some other things you think you need to do to help your body be healthy?
Eat right.
Eat right? Okay, what do you think are healthy foods that you should be eating for your brain?
Kale.
Kale? Good, that's a good choice. Fruit, what do you think the number one healthy fruit is for your brain?
Apples.
Nope. Blueberries.
Blueberries.
Any berries. Blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, any of the dark fruits that are really, really good for your brain. Do you think junk food is good for your brain?
No.
Probably.
Okay. Your brain weighs between 3 and 5 pounds, but it consumes 20 to 30% of the calories that you ingest every day. So what you eat makes a huge difference. Yeah, can you believe that?
No.
I know. So you need also omega-3 fatty acids are really good for healthy brain development. Does anybody know when the brain is completely mature? Do you have any in terms of your cognitive functioning? Or complete cognitive functioning happens around the age of about 25. Okay. physical maturation of your brain, the physical size is completely developed by about age 10. But the brain develops from the bottom all the way to the top. So we start at the brain stem, mm-hmm. which has to do with blinking your eyes, your heart beating. Then we move to the cerebellum and then to the prefrontal cortex. And this is the part of the brain that handles all of those things like your really, really busy schedules and the ability to organize and have forethought and have empathy. Those things are still developing in your brain. And so I want to help you try and judge, am I making a good decision or a bad decision, and what's really happening in my brain? Because you have a great teenage brain. Mm. It's very plastic. It's very adaptable. Neuroplasticity refers to the ability that your brain has to adapt and change. So it's really important for you to be trying new classes, sports, new activities, and not giving up on something the first or second time that you try, to really stick with something because it's helping really form good neural pathways in your brain. What do you think happens if you play too many video games, which we always hear in the news? Kids are playing video games all the time. What do you think that does to your brain?
Fry your brain.
It's really not good for your brain. You're really training your brain. If you sit in front of a screen hour after hour, and it's the same thing with social media, if that's all you do, that's all your brain wants to do. You're really giving it a steady diet of nothing but electronic exposure and not exposure to other variety of activities, okay? So make sure that you are really using your brain wisely, because what happens with your brain is that it actually starts to prune off the parts that it's not using. So your brain in adolescence is becoming very, very adept at understanding what you do well, what you may not do well. But if all you do is play video games, that's all you're training your brain to want to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another thing I want to share with you, do you know how much blood is pumping through your brain every minute of every day? Do you have any idea?
No.
36 ounces of blood is pumping through your brain every minute of every day. Wow. That's like three cans of soda. Okay?
Three cans.
And so what we want for good, healthy brain development is good neural blood flow, okay? And frequently you have to sit for long periods of time, either in class or doing homework. Mm-hmm. And you've been sitting for a long time listening to me talk, so let's go ahead and stand up and let's do a brain break.
Okay.
You can tell your teachers about this, too. Are you doing these at school?
No.
Well, you should give it a try. All right, put your hands up like this. Reach for the sky. Now let's touch our toes. Okay. Stand up, get your elbows out. Let's make some circles. What we want to do is get as much cross-lateral activity going on between the left and the right hemisphere. Okay. So let's take our right elbow to our left side. Left elbow to the right side. You can also do it with your knees, too. Knees are good, too. Anything that you get going between the left and the right. How do you feel?
Oh, better.
Better. Yeah. Good. All right. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is, what are some things that we know are dangerous to our brain? Yeah, that happens in adolescence.
Drugs.
Drugs and alcohol. Are your friends experimenting with drugs and alcohol?
Unfortunately.
Okay. I want you to share with them that when you are experimenting with these things, the adolescent brain is extremely susceptible to addiction. Boys are inherently known to take risks, and the brain really likes that. But the brain of boys is not developing quite as quickly as the brain of girls, and so girls are at more of a risk for addiction because of the speed of the development. But boys are bigger in taking risks. So addiction is really an equal opportunity for both boys and girls, but it manifests itself a little bit. And actually, when we have a lot of really negative activity going on with drugs and alcohol, you'll start to get holes in your brain. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, what do you think happens when you start to get holes in your brain like this?
Things don't work.
Yeah,
they don't work very well, okay? Can messages go back and forth between the left and the right hemisphere very well?
I wouldn't think
so. No, because it's really trying to, like, send a message across a part of the brain that isn't even there anymore, okay? So I wanted to share with you today that there are so many great things that you really have control of, that you have a really great teenage brain, and to be developing good, healthy habits and knowing what you can do in terms of your diet as well as activity and things to avoid. So thanks so much for being with me today, and I'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, Carson.
Oh, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
You doing all right?
Yes, sir.
How did it go with Amy? Hey, this is my buddy Michael Bennett right here.
How you guys doing? Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Well, how was Amy? What'd y'all learn?
It was good. She gave us a lot of information. We talked about the pros and cons of being a teenager in today's society, and she taught us some stuff about the brain.
So, I mean, if you guys have a couple of minutes, we'd like to ask you
a few questions. Man?
As you guys are professional football players, how, as a child and teens, how did you pave your way for success, and how did you get to where you are now?
You want to take it first?
Yeah, man. Well, something that even Coach always says, he says the road to success is always under construction. You know, and there's always, you know, different things you can find to, you know, tweak and get better at and learn from. But, I mean, you're going to make mistakes, you know, and it's just being able to overcome those mistakes and learning from your mistakes, you know. Well, I mean, what do you think, Mike?
I thought it was always understanding no matter what you do, thinking about how it affects that dream that you have at the, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel. So, like he said, you're going to make mistakes, but if you have an idea of what you want to do and what your biggest goal in life is, then everything you do, you're going to have it in the back of your mind, like, okay, well, is this going to jeopardize what I want to do in the big picture?
So with that being said, is there a motto that you live life by or, like, a set of rules?
For me, it was the first thing I can remember was, like, the number one rule in the house was respect others. So I never really got in that much trouble as a kid, but the only time I would is if I talked back to a teacher or disrespected an authority figure or was mean to another kid. That's when my dad really put the law down. So that's what I try to bring towards what I do now is I'm never going to disrespect somebody. So, you know, everyone deserves respect no matter where they are in their life, no matter what decisions they've made. You respect them. And, you know, some people make it difficult, but that's not your decision to make. You know, everybody deserves a level of human respect and stuff like that. So that's what I learned from a very young age.
I remember in seventh grade, I had this school project I had to do. And I did it the day of, and it was good. I got a good grade on it. But I remember my football coach pulled me aside and said, hey, is that your best? You know, did you put all your effort in there? And I was like, you know what, coach? I didn't, you know. But I got the job done, right? And my coach said, hey, you always need to give your best effort. And ever since then, obviously, it's left a lasting impression on me. But ever since then, my motto is always, you know, give your best. I never thought I'd be playing football. I never thought I'd make it to the NFL, but I always put everything I had into football, you know, since high school and college. But that goes the same way in the classroom. I gave everything I had in the classroom, and I had doors that opened up for me there too. And I think it's just, you know, respecting, you know, my elders, respecting everyone around me, being a good teammate, but then, you know, putting everything I got into everything that I do. Coach Saban used to always say, how you do anything is how you do everything. And I think that's pretty deep.
So do you guys have any advice for any teens that are dealing with peer pressure and making any good decisions?
I've always felt with peer pressure was, I've always had this idea of, do you have my best interest in mind? Because if I have your best interest in mind, how am I going to let you, you know, lead me down the wrong path? So people talk about peer pressure like you didn't know what was going to happen. You do, you just let kids talk you into it. Mm-hmm. When you understand that, when you put yourself around people that do have your best interest in mind, generally, they're not going to pressure you into doing something that's going to put your careers at risk or anything like that. So I think it comes to, one, like we've said before, was having goals. Two, really surrounding yourself with people who you think have your back and not just someone who's going to be a good time, you know. Everyone, especially in high school, people are really concerned about, you know, am I a fun person, you know, or do people feel like they can have fun around me? But this distortion of what you think fun is, you know, I think that's what gets kids in trouble. So just understanding, you know, the people that you need around you are the ones that really have your best interest in mind, regardless of the situation.
So, I mean, you guys have given us some really good advice. I'm pretty sure Kima and I can take that to heart.
But
we actually have to go and stop by Coach Bradley's office.
Coach Bradley.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome, man.
So I think we're seeing you later.
Yeah, I'll catch up with y'all later. I think I'm about to go in the weight room for a little bit.
So thank you very much for everything.
Thank you again for answering the question.
For sure. We'll catch up with y'all later.
All right.
Hey, guys, do you have a second?
Hey, how's it going?
Come on in, have a seat.
We're just going over some stuff for this week's game.
So we're just going around the stadium asking questions about our goals and our future.
Do you mind if we ask you a couple questions?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Okay, so first off, what's it like being a member of the Roar?
Wow. It's an awesome experience. I mean, being able to travel and meeting so many new people and, of course, cheering on the field on game day?
Yeah, there's nothing like being down on the field during the game and being able to see it from that perspective, looking up into the crowd. It's just unlike anything else.
Is it a full-time job?
No, it's not a full-time job. We all have outside jobs outside of the Roar. I work full-time. I know Taylor just graduated from college, so we all have a lot going on outside of the Roar.
Yeah, this is actually my fourth year with the team, and so I've been through the balancing school and work and the Roar, and it's definitely a task.
It is.
How do you juggle it all?
Time management.
A lot of time management. I know I keep a planner of everything I have to do every day, make sure I know like what I need to do for my job, for a roar, for everything else. You just have to make sure you don't spread yourself too thin and put too many things on your plate, and make sure you give yourself sufficient time to put your all into everything and not cheat yourself out of any of the things.
Well, going a bit of a different route, society has put a lot of pressure on women to be perfect, and a lot of pressures on like body image and how you look. How do you guys deal with that, especially as members of the Roar?
There definitely is so much pressure on that. Everything from what you eat to what you wear. For me, it's something that you just have to, you know, take with a grain of salt, look at it, you know that it's there and it's pushed on you. But with those pressures, you really have to look at yourself and, you know that the reasons that you're different from all of these images that you're seeing, like, is because you're beautiful. And this is how you're supposed to be. Nobody's supposed to be the same. Nobody deals with the same things.
Yeah, you can't compare yourself to anybody else because everyone is built differently. Everyone has a different shape. If you see these girls on Facebook and Instagram, you're like, oh, I want to look just like them. Even if you eat the same exact thing that they eat, do the same exact things that they do every single day, you're not going to look like them because you're built differently. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You just need to be the best you that you can be and don't worry about anybody else because no two people are going to be exactly the same.
Do you have any personal stories that you could tell about obstacles that you've overcome?
For me, I grew up being really shy. I was that girl that didn't really talk to anyone. And honestly, being a member of the Roar and putting myself out at that first audition was what helped me. Being a part of this team, you become a family with the girls that are there, and you're put in situations that you really have to break those barriers and break out of your shell and be willing to make a conversation with someone that you didn't know. And put yourself out there in ways that you wouldn't before. So it's completely changed, honestly, the way that I think about myself and the way that I act.
Yeah, I used to be a competitive cheerleader, and in high school I hurt my knee really badly and had to have surgery on that, and it kind of changed. I was like that type A person who had a plan exactly for every year what I wanted to do, and it totally changed that. I wasn't physically able to do the things that I was able to do before, so I kind of used that time to kind of put my priorities in order and kind of see like what was really important and what I really needed to be doing with my life. And throughout that time I had some friends who were on Roar, and I was talking to them and kind of discovered that maybe that was something I could do. I ended up trying out and making the team. So like if I wouldn't have gone through that obstacle, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be on the Roar. So you just kind of have to use their struggles for turn them into a positive thing and make something good out of it.
Well, thank you so much for talking
thank
with us.
Thank you so much.
We're going to see Coach next.
All right. Awesome.
All right. All right, guys. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey, Coach. Is this a good time?
Yeah, it's a great time. Come on in. How are we doing?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
In,
hi.
Man. Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
So we've already got some advice from the players, so we were just wondering if you could tell us your experience in being a dad.
Oh, that'd be great. I love talking about parenting. So many challenges it requires. So go ahead and shoot away.
Okay, so we just wanted to know, what's it like raising two teenagers?
Well, you know, we're very fortunate. We have four kids, of which two are teenagers. And my wife and I love being a parent. And but there are challenges that come up. There's so many good things and so many great conversations that we have. And the challenge is to spread and to give everybody the needed attention, and especially with how busy schedules are now.
How do you balance family and football?
Well, I think my wife would say, it's a constant challenge. Yeah. And thank God that, she is such a wonderful mother to them all and an unbelievable wife. So she helps me, keep the perspective. And our kids help me keep the perspective. You know, they know that the job is challenging, but they also know that it's important that we spend quality family time together. So they protect that part of it every time that we can.
Are there any values that you bring over from football into your family life or vice versa?
Sure. I think one of our primary values that we talk about as a team is the idea of leadership or being a servant leader. And that's the ability to help everybody get better with no agenda. And I think that value we pass on to our children too. And the idea that whenever you have a chance to do good, you do good. And they take that responsibility as something that's very important to them and to our whole family. We use this with our team. Would you rather have growth or great growth?
Great growth.
Great growth. Okay, so first of all, to have growth or great growth, you need your spirit. You know how people say you got to protect your spirit, that if you get knocked down, you get back up and you're excited. And you can tell when someone loses their spirit, right? They kind of walk around like someone stole their dog, or you know, that person has lost their spirit. So whether you want growth or great growth, you have to protect your spirit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what plus spirit equals growth, and what plus spirit equals great growth? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're comfortable and you protect your spirit, you'll have growth. But when you're uncomfortable and you protect your spirit, you've got great growth. Now you say, well, I'm going to make it uncomfortable on you because I love you. Mm-hmm. Because I love you so much, I have to make it uncomfortable so that you have great growth.
Do you have any big family like rules or mottos? Or?
We do. We have one big one. No BBL. And it's no bad body language. So we try to be very positive and have a great positive attitude in life. And we know there's some things that can be discouraging, or some things that maybe are, you know, listen, I know all of you and teenage kids are going through a lot of things, and things that can try to rob your spirit. And we try to protect our spirit. Mm-hmm. So the idea of no bad body language, I think, reminds them to protect their spirit and keep a positive mindset.
And do you have any experiences from when you were growing up as a teenager that you still remember today?
Well, I do. And I think it comes back to my parents and how supportive they were. You know, you go through some very challenging times and some good times. And I think that really what I responded or appreciate the most from my parents was they were consistent. I always knew that I could go to them. I always knew they were there to help me. They might provide accountability, but accountability is so important. It's like a protection, and we need that in our life. And they were just very consistent in my teenage years, and I always appreciated that I could count on that.
What's the best advice that you were given as you've grown up in life?
You know, we have a saying. You talked earlier about our values, you know, from our family to our team. And one piece of advice I received when I was younger was keep the main thing the main thing. And I think it's always about striving to be your best, get better every day in everything you do, and trust the results or whatever takes place will come. And, you know, I thought that was a great piece of advice and something we still follow today.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Coach.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate your time.
Oh, that's awesome. Anytime. Anytime. Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, how was Coach?
It was fantastic. We really learned a lot.
Hey, Coach Bradley's awesome. Before we wrap up, let's check back in with Amy one last time and go over some X's and O's for your game plan for success.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks, Carson. We're really happy to have teens and parents watch this important program together so that we can work toward a common goal, creating happy, healthy, and successful young adults. Every teen is unique and every journey through adolescence is different, but I would like to offer a few tools to help guide you along your path. Parents, it may not always be easy, but your support is the ultimate key to success. My most important advice, patience. I want to start with recognizing that teens have an attitude of invincibility. Their brains are just wired that way right now, and that's okay. Teens want to try and experiment with just about everything. So go ahead and take healthy risks. Valuable experiences like sports, music, volunteering, and even traveling can help develop an identity. Risky behavior for the sake of temporary pleasure, like driving at high speeds or trying alcohol or sex, can have negative consequences that can be life-changing. In one quick moment, it can cost you the positive goals you've been working so hard to achieve. Communication with parents and role models is so important to navigate new territories, both healthy and otherwise. It's okay to make mistakes along the way, within reason, of course. It's how we learn what we like or don't like, what we want or don't want to try again. Coach Bradley spoke about putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Only when you try new things outside of your comfort zone will you grow as an individual. Parents, I know it's difficult to watch kids fail and make the same mistakes we did growing up, but sometimes the experience can be vital to character development and discovering who you are. Teens face a lot of pressure, and most have an overwhelming need to fit in and be accepted by their peers. You heard from Carson earlier in the locker room that when he tried to do that in his freshman year, he felt like he wasn't being himself. Only when he started hanging out with friends who appreciated him for who he is rather than who he thought he should be, did he feel comfortable and confident. Surround yourself with people who make you feel good about yourself. try not to feel the need to conform or compare yourself to someone else. Our Roar of the Jaguars cheerleaders, Chloe and Taylor, said it best. You can't liken yourself to a magazine picture that has been filtered, touched up, and who knows what else. And speaking of the media, social media can create its own set of problems. Teens can feel excluded or even that their life doesn't measure up to all the posts they see of peers having fun. Remember, no one posts the bad stuff. And please, always be aware of your privacy on social media, understanding that without the right settings, your privacy and safety could be at risk. Predators can easily track your location and even where you live. Setting parameters and rules for devices may not be welcomed by teens, but are necessary for the variety of reasons I just mentioned. And finally, understand the value of respect. Respect is not just given to a teen who turns 13. It's something that has to be earned by showing it to parents and other adults. Michael Bennett offered this as his most important piece of advice, and I agree with him. When you appreciate parents and adults as a resource for your own growth, your path will be a whole lot easier. So keep those lines of communication open, listen to each other, and understand it is a process, a wonderful chapter of life that has limitless potential for the future.
Hey, thanks, Amy. That was awesome. You know what? I want to thank the Roar. I want to thank my teammates, and I really want to thank Coach Bradley for all helping out today. Are y'all ready to put y'all's game plan into action?
Yeah.
Carson, you ready to get on the field?
Dylan, I can't wait, man. You know what? It's going to be a great season, and we're really looking forward to it. But until then, I want to thank the Jags. I want to thank the Jaguars Foundation and our friends at Beaver Street Fisheries. We really thank you for tuning in, and go Jags.
Go Jags!